From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
All right, well, welcome to Trapping Radio. We are at the convention here in Wisconsin, and we finally found a picnic table that maybe will be less noise, maybe, but we might have some interruptions or you might hear some background noise. Just know that we're sitting on a picnic table outside of the building here. But I am here with Steve Olson, and I don't know much about you, Steve, so and we don't really have a plan for this interview. But he came up to the booth and said he enjoyed listening to Trapping Radio. And I said, cool, do you want to do an interview? And he said, sure. So here we are. This will be an interview for me to find out more about you as well as the listeners. So you've been listening to Trapping Radio quite a bit, you said. You've been an avid listener,
yep.
Huh?
Yep. Up to date on all of them as they come in.
So. Yep. Clint has talked about everything under the sun with this show.
Yes.
So, yes, he has. But
lots of good information. But
yeah.
Yep.
I know toward the end he says, gosh, we have almost 500 episodes. I don't know what more I can talk about. And so I get it. You know, we talk trapping a lot. And so, you know, we'll make a better effort to have more episodes up. So, appreciate you joining us. So who are you? Where are you from?
Well,
I
grew up in the central part of the state, down by Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids area. And I started trapping with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of dabbled in it a little bit and used to go up north with him to a friend of his cabin, and we'd trap with him for like a week or week and a half. And I love the outdoors, so it's one more thing and to do. And you know, a trapper sees things in the woods that, you know, in the landscape that people don't normally see. And I mean, it just all around helps me with all my other outdoor endeavors, really, you know.
So you were young when you started with
dad? Oh, yeah. Back then, you had to be 12 to trap. And for my 12th birthday, I got a dozen one-and-a-half long springs.
Mm. So, and what were you at? Do you remember your first catch?
Well, dad was more of a water trapper, mostly water trapping. So it was, I grew up right next to a creek, so caught muskrat there and mink once in a while, pick up a mink there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, trap there off and on. And then after I graduated high school, I moved to Phillips up there, trap really a lot up there. When my kids were small, I'd take them. I had three kids, two boys and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd take all three of them trapping. Mm-hmm. But the first two to start, well, my oldest was a year old when he went on the beaver line with me in December.
Mm-hmm.
I was pulling him around behind me in the sled.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a warm day, you know, so I could have him out there and that. I felt so bad. I'm pulling him through the elder brush, and the sled tips over.
Oh, my.
Yep, 1 year old, screaming. Had snow packed in his ear, but he still liked to trap, you know, after that. I don't know if he forgot about that traumatic experience or not. But, yeah, I used to carry him in front of me with I had one of the little kids' pack baskets, you know, mm-hmm. And then I had my younger son, when he was old enough to stand, I put him in my pack basket, and he'd hold himself up, and he'd be watching, and I'd have carry the older one in front of me with his pack basket. Mm-hmm. And one time we were at this one spot, and I caught like two or three muskrats and a mink on that one creek. And my son was, you know, he's got that pack basket on, and that was quite a bit of weight for a little guy. I mean, he's pretty small, and I don't know how old, but he's pretty young. And I was trying to support that pack basket, and his arms are flailed. You could tell, you know, mm-hmm. making a wishbone out of him. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll never forget, Alex, don't drop that pack basket. And he just looked at me, don't worry, Dad, I won't, you know.
You got it.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's the other thing about the trapping. There's so many memories and so many stories, so many memories with my dad, with my kids. They're all 30, you know, and around that age. And
So did they stick with trapping, or are they kind of...
They did a little bit, but once they got, you know, the whole girl thing hit, that kind of, you know, it went by the wayside. But they still talk about it every once in a while, you know. You know, they grew up watching Fur Fishing Game videos with Tom Miranda and Herbst, I forget what his first name was, but that whole crew. They even were going to do some little videos. I got little clips on VHS of them.
Aww. Yeah,
you know, talking about the set and that, you know.
I see that now, like my nieces, they're old enough to have iPads, and they've been on the line with me, and they've shot videos with me, and they watch my videos and all the things, and they try to make their own videos. And my sister will be, Kinsley will be in there pretending, you know, she's in the house, they live in the city, and my sister is not a trapper, and Kinsley has the idea of trapping, and so she uses what she has, which are her toys, and her stuffed animals, and she pretends with, I don't even know what kind of toys she gets her stuffed animals, and her stuffed animals are in a trap, and she is making a video with her iPad of I just caught this teddy bear in this trap, and it was doing this, and I used this, and, you know, she had all the things, you know, little kids with imaginations, and they watch what we do, and even if they don't, you know, trap, they have the memories.
Yep.
And at some point in their life, they have a little bit of confidence to recreate those memories when older in life. You know, that was with me. I didn't start trapping until I was in my 30s. But I remember going when I was a kid. And so, you know, that's all it takes, is just to have that memory.
Yeah. So. What do you think of that trying to get that content and videotape? And I'm just thinking about starting that this year. So is it kind of a big pain? Or
it's a pain,
having all that, I can imagine.
Yeah. It's nice for me and Jeff, because we trap together, and he's always really good about the camera stuff, and he tries with microphone stuff, and I'm not. I mean, we're sitting here recording this using my phone. We don't have any headsets. We don't have any microphones. None of the things, but Jeff really does try to have good equipment to, you know, create, you know, make it good. But it's so much time involved in editing to really put out. We would love to do more content, but what we've done has worked. It's just raw, it's unedited, it's unfiltered, it's in the moment, and we show everything, everything.
Yep.
But sometimes it is. Sometimes I tell them, I'm just like, I just want to go trapping without the camera in my face.
Right.
Let's just enjoy the day, and let's take a few pictures and enjoy doing what we really enjoy doing. And for him, that is the camera. He enjoys all of that.
Mm.
But
you know, there's a lot of memories that I have that would have been interesting to have somebody there for that. One time, I got both hands caught in a 220 making a Fisher set by myself.
Yeah.
And I had to drive to get help.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would have been a kind of an interesting video.
Yep.
Life on the line.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of pictures when I was, you know, early in the days, because it was just me. And kind of before the whole selfie thing and the tripod, before me getting into any of that, I'm pretty basic, but I just don't have a lot of pictures. I remember I said, my one friend, she got into photography, and I said, could you just ride with me and just take a few pictures, like me, like making a set or having a catch? And I'm like, it'd be so cool to have a really nice picture of me out on the line.
Yep.
And she's like, not my thing. She didn't want any part of it. And that was the initial thing. And then she came over later and I said, I've got to, you know, paint all these traps. But she's like, okay, I'll paint the traps. So, you know, little by little, she got in. She never did come on the line and take pictures with me, but, you know, she helped paint traps, and she's thanked me since then, because, you know, I just kept encouraging her on things that she was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you like to trap? What do you been up to recently? I mean, are you running lines?
Well, I like water trapping. You know, that was my first thing that I started doing, and I, you know, there's a lot of reward in water trapping. You know, it's pretty easy to catch a muskrat or even beaver or any of it. But I've recently got into the canine trapping and that, and I've gotten a few of that, and that's pretty exciting. I really like doing that, but I like doing it with good snow and good ice, because I
really
like doing it. Yeah.
What are your tricks for that? Because a lot of people struggle when the snow and ice come.
Well, one of my favorite things to do is get on the beaver ponds. You know, I'm there anyway, beaver trapping.
Mm-hmm.
And watching them, even maybe setting up a bait site or whatever, and to see what's there going on around there, and they just the water, the snow there will stay fairly shallow. You know, you got the ice, so water comes up above it once in a while.
Okay.
Or same on the creek or river. You know, it's easy. All animals want to take the easy way, the easy trail. So if you can find places where the snow is not so deep,
sure,
that's where you're gonna go. And that's where I caught my first coyote, was on a beaver pond, and my second one was on a river, and you know, just running the ice along the river. I mean,
so how are you anchoring your traps and bedding them?
I started out bedding, you know, cutting a hole in the ice and all that stuff, and that just got to be too much. You know, I mean, you can do a point, and then had this brainstorm. I'd put the I use a wolf fang, and then you can just take your driver and drive it through the ice. And then it just flops and it catches on them, you know. And then if it don't, you know, the ice is going to freeze over that little hole. And I would put it in the bed. Don't do that, because then the water comes up and it causes
great
a mess.
Advice.
Yeah. Don't do that. So then what I did is I started anchoring it to the side, and that worked. You know, you want to, just like anything else with the snow and that, cover up. But you can make a little bit of a depression as long as you don't have a lot of... And I always use wax sand for bedding and everything, because you're on the ice, you're subject to water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing what that does. It is just... I've had it where the water came up, and then, you know, you get that ice over your trap, and you break that ice, and it's all dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's all dry around that trap because of that wax sand.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've got one. I'm also getting ready to sturgeon fish.
Okay.
My favorite set so far. is, okay, sturgeon fishing, you use a lot of night crawlers. So I took the, I saved that worm bedding that the night crawlers come in. I usually get them by the big flat. And I used that for like a backing. So on the white snow, it was that black dirt.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people can forget that them animals are curious as much as they are anything. Well, now I got to thinking, you know, that black dirt standing out on the white snow, and then you're going to have a certain amount of scent there that's from the worms and that, you know, that's kind of interesting. And all I did was spray a little fox urine on it. And in 3 days I had a bobcat.
So what do you do for like covering the trap? I know you're using wax sand. So are you like blending some of the sand out to make it?
Nope. I'm taking the snow and using that over the top of that just to
blend it back in.
Kind of blend it right back in. And this year, this summer, I collected some crocs, so I'm going to make a croc set.
What does that mean?
I'm going to use a croc.
Like a shoe?
Yes.
How are you going to do that?
I'm going to do it. And I'm going to videotape that one. But I think that the curiosity, I think you can get, you can, I think I can make that happen, I'm pretty sure. I've got four crocs to try with, so.
Those are the weird, I see people wearing those and I'm like, oh my gosh. I've never worn a pair in my life.
They're pretty comfortable. Yeah. But yeah, I don't wear them much either. I like more.
So you're going to use that for what, like bait attraction?
For eye appeal.
Eye appeal.
Yeah. Gotcha. Curiosity.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be interesting. You should put some trail cameras on that.
Hey, you know, I might. I just bought four new ones. You're right. I should do that because it'd be interesting to see that interaction with that.
Yeah, we were talking about weasel trapping, and I enjoy weasel trapping on the ice. And we're talking about using mouse meat as the bait for the weasel. And I said I like to use like holy water, something super skunky, lay it next to the box. And the guy said, well, would the coyotes tear my box apart? And I'm like, I never really have had an experience with that, but I've always seen like coyote tracks come into the box and they see the box and they're like, what is that?
Yeah.
But then they move along. But yeah, I don't have much footage with coyotes and cameras.
Yeah,
kind of scary.
That is actually a really good idea.
I would like
to see how they interact.
Tommy Bryant uses. I know if you're on Facebook, you probably know about Tommy. He's always running his mouth on there, and I know he listens to this show. So, yes, I said that, Tommy. You're always running your mouth. But he uses a lot of trail cameras, but he puts them up in the trees to kind of detour the, you know, the noises and if you have infrared lighting or whatever. But yeah, I've put a lot of trail cameras on beavers and otters, and that's enough to scare me. I thought I was pretty good. You know, I go out and catch a beaver, but trail cameras will humble you so quick.
Well, see, and that's a thing that a person doesn't, you know, because I've watched some of them videos on YouTube and that with people with trail cameras, and it is amazing how many things, you know, like even a beaver, you just think that thing would just go up and, I mean, they can't see real well, you know, all that stuff, but you know, they'll come up and back off, you know. Kind of
interesting. So ice trapping, that's fun. That's really fun. What else do you enjoy? Do you beaver trap on the ice? Do you do a lot of water trapping on the ice? I've never done any of that.
My first beaver that I caught in a snare through the ice.
Okay. So how is that set up? Walk me through snaring beaver on the ice. Or something like that.
Typically, the way I like to do it is I like to keep... You know, some people will try to put snares on the bottom and right under the ice with a pole.
Okay.
You know, because they'll they'll try to, if they find a green stick, they'll try to cut it off at the top or the bottom, you know, mm-hmm. because they got to get it out of the water, mm-hmm. essentially. But I just like to get it down below, and then just a little bit under the ice, I will put my snares, okay. loop on. I usually put two down, one on each side.
Okay.
And
how do you attach the snares to the...
A lot of times I'll just take them and I'll run them up my pole,
okay.
and then to the top, and then that way you can
and
put
then
your
you have
tags.
Like a little support thing sticking
yep.
out.
Yep. You'll put like a dead tree or something. You'll mm-hmm. tie all that stuff to support it till the
sure.
ice freezes, and that. And then I like to have my name tag up there. Then mm-hmm. if a game warden comes along, you can just check it. He ain't got to dig everything up and mess everything. You know.
So how do you know where to put this snare? What are you looking for?
Well, by near feed beds or
lodges. Okay, so you're
lodges.
Finding the feed bed,
yep.
all right.
And if I'm, I suspect there's, because sometimes it's deeper or whatever, and you might not clearly see as much feed as what's there, okay. you know, and that. So sometimes I have been known to also, if I'm in a beaver pond or something going, traveling through, I'll just take whatever, poke it hole in the ice and just mm-hmm. put some green down there, you know,
okay.
and if they find it, you know, it'll be chewed
and what
up.
What do you mean by green?
Like a popple.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. And, I'm yep. scared to death. I can't swim, and the thought of like falling through the ice just scares me so much. I've never experienced that.
Well,
so.
I've had that experience,
yes,
too.
See, this is my nightmare.
Well, you know, it's amazing how fast you can get out of the water.
I feel like I'd be trapped. I have nightmares about being trapped.
You know, even that one time I was otter trapping on a, and you get that ice, it freezes, and then the in the winter, you know, things dry up and the creek drops underneath the ice. Mm. Well, that stays warmer under there.
Okay.
So I've already, you know, broken through the ice there, and then you'll tuck up like a 220 or something up underneath the ice.
Okay.
And you'll catch them running, you know, you okay. typically, you know, you'll still have a little water, you know, so you can get
sure.
that halfway down there in the water and that. And I had it up there and ice formed around the jaws, you know. So I'm reaching in there, breaking that ice off. I couldn't really see what was going on. I'm poof, right on my
what?
Thumb at 220.
Oh, no. yeah, no.
But, yeah, seems like them conibears are, them things are so fast.
They are, yep.
But, yeah, I really do enjoy. And that's one thing that my dad and I used to do is we'd, he loved to snowshoe way back into no man's land. And I was the trailblazer, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, we went, did a lot of trapping way back in. And I don't know how he'd find them places, but he would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that with Jeff once. He says, I just want to go trap where me and my dad went trapping. Okay. And we started, had to walk, and we had to walk, and we had to walk. I remember, and I'm like, and we get there after we'd walked this far, and it was all dried up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And he says, but back then, you know, they didn't have the technology to find the beaver ponds and things. And Jeff's dad paid money for a helicopter to find these beaver ponds.
Oh,
and so that was way a long time ago. And he, you know, found all of them. And so that was, I mean, the whole idea of it was really cool. But it is, back in the day, it's so much easier now with
yeah,
machines.
Yeah,
and stuff,
yeah,
but.
With Onyx or whatever your mapping thing is, you can just go and look and pour
yeah,
over
you can see
areas
the ponds
yeah yeah
on there,
see right where the lodges
thanks.
Are and
absolutely.
Everything
absolutely
yeah
yeah times have sure changed.
What do you think of the lure making now that you've got into that?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I miss the lure shop when I'm not there. I miss
really?
It all. Like I am so anxious. You know, it's today's Saturday of the show, and typically we pack up on Saturday and we head back, and we're gonna stay another night because there's so many women here.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm anxious. I'm anxious to get back in the lure shop. I always am. Yep, I always tell Jeff, I miss my lure shop. And he knows enough now. I mean, he just stays out. He doesn't even go in.
I've been thinking about dabbling into that, you know. Just, I mean, you catch all the stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, it's, might as well try to utilize it. I mean, a guy uses beaver casters anyway, you know, because everything likes them.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely fun parts to it, and there's definitely, you know, a lot of rotting, stinking, bloody messes that you got to clean up. A lot of we come to the shows and we get a lot of glands, and you know, it's been 100 degrees and it's like keeping these glands iced, and then if they don't stay iced, and then you got to deal. It's just, you know, we picked up a bunch of carcasses from New York that we had to haul back, and again, it was hot, but it's all part of it.
He got into his dad did that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad never got into it that far, but kind of interesting to me, learning all that stuff, learning how to preserve it and use it, and
yeah, like Jeff says, we're always putting stuff in bottles that God never intended for it to be in there.
Yeah, I've heard one of you guys say that before.
Yeah. Yep. So what's your season look like this year? Are you same old thing, going after something new, trying something new, going somewhere new?
Like, I said I want to do that croc set thing. That's really
absolutely.
Forefront.
I'm gonna
make that happen.
Yep.
But because I think it'd be pretty cool. But then anyway, from that, I've got a possible opportunity to go to Nebraska.
Okay.
A guy I know from Iowa goes out there, and I might be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So that'd be kind of interesting, kind of a dual purpose thing, coyote hunting and trapping.
Sure.
Which I would like to do in the coyote end of trapping in every state that I possibly can. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Yep.
I mean, that's really a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, this cool weather. I told Jeff, I said, we better get our schedule made for this year so we can kind of get some things nailed down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you got anything exciting that you're going to look at?
I would really like to go to New York and trap Fisher. I've never trapped a Fisher because I've never had the opportunity to. You know, my residence is still in Iowa. So non-resident Michigan, I can't catch one. So I'd really like to go do that. And then raccoons in Iowa, coyotes in Iowa, Michigan, muskrats, and then planning on Texas. And that's as far as I know.
I've heard Texas trips on the radio, the trapping radio, and it really sounds like a lot of fun. I'd love to catch them bobcats. I mean, Wisconsin here, if you go for the early season, I think this year was my third year, and I still didn't draw a tag, you know, so it's like, but Fisher, we get a tag about every other year, I think it is, it works out. But I can remember that was one trapping that I really liked to do with my dad is back when they first started reintroducing them here, they trying to figure out how to control the populations. And well, they, one year you'd get like two or three tags, and then the next year you wouldn't get any, you know, just because they were just trying to figure out how to manage it.
Yeah.
And but them years when between the dad and I, we'd have five tags, you know, and that's like, yeah, that's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know, they're a patience game, you know. They about every 7 days or whatever is their rounds, you know, mm-hmm. so you can be waiting a while, but mm-hmm. man, it is rewarding when you yeah. do get one there. Yeah. And there's just, well, all the animals, they got such a beautiful coat, you know, and it don't matter what yeah. they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to that. Because there's, my firsts are getting narrowed down just a bit. And so I caught my first gray fox this past season.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I was so excited about that. Yeah.
My son caught his, my younger son caught his first, I think he was like 12, he caught his first one, and I've never caught one, you know, he caught his up by Phillips, and that's, you know, up in the National Forest, you think mm-hmm. of them as more of a farm area mm-hmm. fox, you yep. know, but yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. So you enjoy coming to the conventions. I've seen you at a couple now
yep.
this year.
Yep.
So this the two that you went to, Wisconsin and Escanaba?
Yep. 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 Used to go up to Marshfield one all the time. Well, okay. like I say, I grew yeah. up down there yeah. going to that one. And now that they switched it over to here, now that I move, I'm living in Rhinelander now, so I'm right okay. up the road.
I've heard the name of that town, yeah.
Yep. And that's really nice over there. There's a lot of public land over there, and places to go, and a lot of water.
Yeah.
A lot of water over mm-hmm. there. So.
Well, cool. Yeah, we camped here last night, and it's so cold. It got down to like 37 this morning. I was like, we're sleeping in the trailer. It's so cold. But it's been a great turnout here. Finally, it feels like. Feels like convention weather. It feels like trapping weather, I mean.
Yeah.
It's been
yeah,
such it's, a hot it's, summer.
It, oh, man, yeah. it was terrible. Like you yeah. said, Escanaba was
so hot.
Fucking, yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't even find a shade tree to comfortably sit.
Yeah.
And so.
One interesting incidental that I got, and I got more than one, so it wasn't just a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, some fish bait that I was trying to catch a mink in this little creek, and a little marshy kind of creek, and there was mink tracks around off and on, but I'd have something keep taking my, I was using a 110, and I kept having something take my fish,
mm-hmm.
and I, every time, you know, you get something like that, you know, as a trapper, you got to try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. What the heck is going on here? So eventually I got to a point where I was actually putting the fish right on the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, they were getting it, not setting it up. Well, I started rearranging where I had that trigger.
Mm-hmm.
I caught a water shrew, like a little mouse in a 110.
Oh, my goodness.
And then my dad didn't happen to be up there for that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that night I called him right away. Hey, you'll never guess what I caught today.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd come up every couple weekends, and he'd go out on the line with me by mm-hmm. Phillips there when I was by there. And the next time that he was up, I had another one in my 110. Yep. So it wasn't a fluke. I had it figured out.
Yep. Yeah, that's such a miss. I mean, it's such a, like, in your mind when you set the trap for the animal that you're targeting. You know, like the mink, and you say, oh, the mink got away, it got my fish, it got my bait, the mink did it, I missed a mink, what am I doing wrong with this mink? And a lot of times, just because you have the trap set in your mind, that's not what's going on.
Right, right.
You know, I think that happens a lot with, you know, you set a coyote trap and you missed the coyote, no, a coon came by and flipped your set over.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Oh.
Yep.
One time I did, I had a little stream, and you could see there is a coon running this side of the little stream, the one side, and it's like, well, I'll set that side of the stream, and I'll get him. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Slam dunk. Well, no, the next time I checked there, the tracks were going on the other side.
Oh, no, here's the boss, man.
I just come and deliver a message of the trapping, women's trapping camp, taking their pictures.
Their picture right now. I got to be in a picture. Well, on that note, Steve.
Sorry to bust
up
the party, but.
I forgot at 12:50. Yeah, I gotta go do the picture.
Okay.
But, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your stories. And, you know, that's what it's about, sharing the stories of the trap line and things like that. So, and thanks for listening to Trapping Radio.
Oh, yeah. So. I like it. And I've been telling people I'm going to do this.
Yeah, okay.
So you might get a couple more listeners.
Perfect.
Anyway.
All right. Well, thanks, Steve.
Yep. Thank you.